This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll see what Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group, has to say about all this. He is an NBA expert and Golden State Warrior coverer. Is that fair?
Coverer?
Yeah, I know. That was great grammar.
It's totally accurate, though.
It is. It's accurate. Just kind of said strangely. How are you, Dieter? Good to talk to you, man.
I'm well. How about you guys?
We're good. All right. So how far would you call the Damian Lillard shot? Just for the heck of it.
I just call it a logo shot.
I will
say this. Like, the worst kept secret around the NBA is that the official box scores, when it says, like, 32 feet, those are wildly inaccurate. I have no idea.
I always figured that was the case,
yeah,
too.
Like, it's not even remotely close. So I'm sure today there were a bunch of people on Twitter, and it's good content, and I always consume it, but about, oh, Damian Lillard shoots 42% from 30 feet or beyond. It's like, you know, the three-point line is 22 to 23.5 feet. Are you telling me that he was standing, like, 20 feet behind that or something? They're ridiculous. Don't put too much stock into it. It was an awesome shot. There's two guys in the NBA who can shoot it from there and feel good, Dame Lillard and Steph Curry.
Dieter, I'm going to steal my partner's sunshine right now. When everybody thinks I'm going to ask about a basketball question, no, not so fast. I'm going to ask you about the Sharks and that tremendous Game 7 win over Vegas. That was a heck of a game last night.
It was transcendent. That's one of the few events that I think everybody can get behind. I guess we just had one a couple days back with Tiger Woods chasing the Masters on Sunday. Doesn't matter if you play golf. Doesn't matter if you watch golf year-round. You can't help but be captivated by Tiger. Don't understand it. Not fighting it anymore, for sure. And then a Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. I wouldn't have blamed you if you switched the channel, but I hope you got back as the Sharks just put an avalanche on the Golden Knights, and then the Golden Knights, to their credit, coming back, and then an overtime where you could just see the exhaustion.
Yeah.
Even the crowd was exhausted. It was such a third period that I don't know how you have energy for it, and then against the flow of play, Mark Barkley Goodrow ending it, and it was one of those stories that you try not to get in the way of. So I was there at the Shark Tank, and it was like you just have to run through the emotions because there were so many of them in the overtime game. It was just crazy. It was as good of a sporting event as you'll ever be able to witness, and I was lucky to be there.
Wow. Thank you, Dieter, for just saying that, because I've been trying to convince these guys all day about how great that was. Because the Damian Lillard shot was memorable, but it wasn't as good as that hockey game. That hockey game was crazy.
You don't have... Listen, it was a 3-1 series, and Dame did everything, and it was an awesome comeback. Any other night, that is far and away the coolest thing that happened in sports. But you don't have just the raw emotion that goes into a Game 7. And you add in with the Sharks, you're at home. This is a franchise that's never won the Stanley Cup, led by a guy who has never won a Stanley Cup in Joe Thornton. There are big existential questions surrounding this team. If they don't win the Cup this year, and it is absolutely Cup or bust for them, no one knows what's really going to happen. They might tear it down and try to rebuild, and then this streak of them going to the playoffs every year goes away, and they never really made it happen out of all of those chances. All of that in there, to go down 3-0 for your captain and the most beloved player in franchise history, in my opinion, to go down on a questionable penalty, no doubt, but nevertheless a really scary moment. All of that fear turning into anger. People are throwing stuff on the ice because you see guys lying there motionless and bleeding on the ice, and all you know is that he didn't put himself there. And for the Sharks to rally around in that moment to show the determination and the veteran leadership to rally in that moment and go 1, 2, 3, 4 on the major penalty, and then to bounce back again after the Knights, again, to their credit, unbelievable comeback to get that fourth goal. They pushed it for the final 5 minutes of that game to equalize. And for them to come back again in overtime, it was just a roller coaster, man. You every single shift was just rife with anticipation and agony. It's just too much to handle. You have to remember to breathe during games like that. as awesome as Dame's shot was, and certainly for the Bay Area, we were all cheering for Dame. He's an Oakland guy.
That's right.
He's the only player in the NBA that can have a poster outside of another team's arena and no one questions it. He has a big Hulu Has Live Sports ad right in front of Oracle Arena right now. Huh. And no one really cares because it's Dame. He's Oakland. For that to happen, it just doesn't match up. It just doesn't match up. It's a Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals, everything on the line. In a game like that, you're not going to get anything like that. Everything else pales in comparison in sports.
Perfectly said, Dieter. Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group. All right, let's get to the Warriors. They won't play a Game 7, at least not this series. However, the next series, I don't think it's a over-the-hill thing to say that the Rockets-Warriors second round is almost for the NBA title. These teams are going to have to play their tails off to beat each other. Somebody's going to win it. And then, you know, understand that there's still two more series after this.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go as far to say title, because I'm a really big fan of the Milwaukee Bucks. I understand the skepticism around them. But, man, what they did in the regular season, some of the numbers that they put up, the differentials that they were able to post were historic, and it was very reminiscent, to me at least, of the 2015 Warriors, and their defense is awesome. If they make it to the NBA Finals, anyone who plays them is going to be really angry. But I wouldn't disagree that the winner of the Rockets-Warriors series would probably be the favorite going into that. They should probably be the favorite going into that. And I don't disagree that that is going to be one hell of a series. Big question, of course, is if Houston can get there on time. They had a chance to sweep, and they gave away a couple days of rest that they could have had an advantage on over the Warriors. I imagine that the Warriors will take care of business tonight. I've been proven incorrect with that before. This team is a professional at messing around. So I wouldn't totally go to the bank quite yet on Golden State taking care of business. But if the Rockets not able to make the adjustments that they need to make, and they have to play another game, they're going to have one hell. It's going to be one day in between game six, a possible clincher for them, and the first game of the series against the Warriors, while the Warriors sit at home and soak up this wonderful California sunshine we got going on. So a big night for both of those teams. In fact, you can almost argue that in a weird proxy way, game one is tonight for both of them. If they both take care of business, they come in on the same rest, let's boogie. If one of them doesn't, they are at a severe disadvantage going in, and that might be enough to tilt the series one way or another.
Dieter, it hasn't looked like it's impacted the Warriors at all in this Clippers series, but do you think the loss of Boogie Cousins for the remainder series will hurt the Warriors, or could it actually help the Warriors?
The sense that I get from the Warriors, and they're not ones to typically push unbridled optimism, is that they will probably be better. Mm. They feel a lot more comfortable with the offense. They feel way more comfortable when it comes to defense.
Right.
I will say that the downside is going to be that their bench is a bit lighter. The second unit that they have at the beginning of the second and the fourth quarters lacks a second playmaker, a guy who can just go and get a bucket, and that's what these NBA playoffs are all about. So those are some hairy moments there, especially if anyone gets into foul trouble. They might need a DeMarcus Cousins once or twice over the course of trying to get to the NBA Finals for a fifth straight year. I don't know if that's going to come too often against the Rockets, because Houston knows how to exploit, would know how to exploit Cousins left and right on the defensive end. Instead, there's Andrew Bogut in there. You're going to get more minutes of Draymond Green at center. We saw what Kevon Looney, the Warriors' backup center, was able to do against James Harden last year. I'm nervous about how often the Warriors are fouling against the Clippers. That is something that I'm not sure can just be cleaned up. This seems to be built into the system, and the Rockets are certainly going to take advantage of that. That's the way they want to play the game. But I think DeMarcus Cousins probably would have brought more harm than good in this series, and seeing as this is the only series in the Western Conference playoffs that you would say that the Warriors are going to have some trouble with, that kind of says everything you need to know.
Dieter, we got a couple minutes left. How do the Warriors attack slash defend James Harden. They certainly aren't going to do what the Utah Jazz are doing, which is standing behind him. I've never seen a team do anything quite that crazy before. Obviously, the Warriors have a plan, and I'm sure that Steve Kerr has already begun to think it out because Harden deserves that kind of attention.
Well, they are lucky that they have multiple options, and the Rockets are going to have to sort of show their hand early in the series regarding if they want to run pick and roll or if they just want to do James Harden isolation. They have done a lot of pick and roll against the Warriors, but as we've seen in this series against the Jazz, they're just willing to give Harden the ball, and they'll go one-on-one, and then you get Ricky Rubio behind him for whatever reason. They can throw a bunch of bodies at him. You have Andre Iguodala. You have Klay Thompson. Kevon Looney, if he gets isolated against him, they feel extremely comfortable with. Kevin Durant can even give you a couple of shifts. I think the Rockets are probably going to want to target Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry has been in foul trouble since game two of this Clippers series, so that is the big number one primo matchup to watch in that series. They want to force him right sometimes because obviously he wants to bring it back and shoot to the left side. There are other times when they're going to try to force him left and let him drive, knowing that they can contest at the rim with multiple people and that ultimately you're going to get burned more often than not if he shoots step-back three-point shots, if for no other reason than he's going to go to the line a couple of times, and those are just absolute momentum killers for any team on defense. They're going to mix it up, and they do better than anybody else in that regard because they have the personnel where they can throw multiple bodies. They don't just have one guy, and they're not just throwing poor Ricky Rubio out there and having to come up with some concept where you're taking stuff away. The Warriors are going to be able to play a little bit of cat and mouse with James Harden. The bigger question is if James Harden has the legs under him and if his shot is on. You're going to lose a game to James Harden in that series. There's just no two ways about
it. Amazing.
But, you know, it's do you want him going to the rim? Do you want him shooting the floater? Do you want him shooting the three? I don't know what the right answer is. I can see validity in trying to stop any of those levels. I can see validity in letting him have any of those three levels. It's just a matter of basically doing what you want James Harden to do and living with the consequences of that, knowing that he is right now scoring at a hyper elite level on all three levels. I mean, He's the best offensive player in the NBA right now. And it's about taking advantage of the fact that he's nowhere near the best defensive player in the NBA right now. You have to make sure that you're getting as much against him as he's going to give the Rockets.
Right. Well, Tony and I mentioned it earlier. We think there's two guys that really you can do whatever you want to try to do to stop them, and they're still going to score, and that's Harden and Durant. I mean, these are just two guys that are just too good when they want to score, and that's why that series is going to be phenomenal fun. Hope we catch up to you during the series. Thanks for the great report on the hockey, though, because I want people to understand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of game that was last night, and you nailed it, Dieter.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Dieter.
Enough time in the day to talk all sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, I'm on the board, and we know what happens when that happens in the Big Five, so let's hope there's no mistakes. Everybody.
Oh, you mean you're on the board as far
almost
as
just
running
one,
the show?
Actually.
You're running the
this
show.
Wait, doesn't this take us back to our, like, around our anniversary time? This is how the show used to work, right?
Yes.
Me and you, Scrabe on the board, producing. And every other thing that needed to be done here.
Yes. And messing up most of it.
Yep, well, that's very
that's
true,
how
too.
The show, that's how the show. That's how we got our foothold in this town, was by Scraby messing up.
How come so you didn't go perfect. Yes when he said Scraby's messing up? You were
yes.
Doing
yes. Yes. But now we have all kinds of help. We want to send out our best thought. Thomas had to go home sick today and hope he's feeling better.
Kid Will Thomas.
Don't give that. The guy didn't
we need
feel
you back
well.
On the boards.
He didn't feel well. He went home. How would you like it if you didn't feel well and we
You know
said,
what I do?
Oh, my gosh. He had This is the same kid that had to walk home in the snow, uphill, all that stuff, too.
What?
Living in Oakland.
Living in Oakland.
Yeah.
It snowed in my little bubble. That's where it snowed.
Let's get to this big five.
Number five.
Raiders go into an Ayala Wale ahead of Marshawn Lynch. First and 10. Went in the chin strap of the logo at midfield off the right side. Big hole. Lynch is gone. 30, 20, 10, 5. Beast mode. Touchdown. Raiders. 51 yards.
I'm going to miss that
great
voice.
Call.
That How was did they fire that guy?
I know.
What were they thinking?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's the guy they fired?
Yes. Yeah. That's such good announcing right there.
They got Brent Musburger back in the booth.
I was fired up just from listening to that highlight right there.
Raider. The way he says it, just that.
Oh, he was great.
That's my childhood right there, because growing up listening to the radio and stuff.
That was
Joe Starkey and Greg Papa were two guys that I listened to growing up.
Joe Starkey.
Mark Davis messed up on this one.
Joe Starkey had a lot of touchdown calls. Greg Papa, not as many.
Owens! Owens! That's what I remember. Is when Owens, when he caught that pass in the playoffs between
the 49ers,
the 49ers against the Packers, he was like, he didn't even know what to say. Owens! Owens! Owens!
Those are the best calls. Yeah. When it's just natural.
Catch you by surprise.
Well, after two seasons playing for his hometown Oakland Raiders, beast mode is no more. Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch is not planning to play football again. And last season, he was tied for fifth in the AFC with 331 rushing yards through week five, but then he suffered what eventually became a season-ending groin injury against the Seattle Seahawks. In 21 games, he rushed for 1,267 yards on 297 carries. And this is actually the second time he has retired after he sent a tweet during the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 50 with the peace emoji and cleats hanging up. So, Chris, is beast mode a Hall of Famer?
Hall of Famer?
No.
I don't think so. Oh, he's a great running back. I think you have to stand out more than that. And he made some great runs for Seattle. He was part of a couple of Super Bowl teams. He had a really cool nickname. But no, I don't believe he's a Hall of Fame running back. Where does he rank? Did you have some all-time ranks for him?
He ranks 16th on the all-time rushing touchdown list, and he is not in the top 25 for rushing yards, 10,379.
Well, like I said, I think he's an elite running back. I think, to me, you'd have to stand out a lot more than he did to be a Hall of Fame. But that's my category. That's how I put it. You got to, like, just jump out. And I thought beast mode stepped out. He was very good. Not Hall of Fame.
Tony?
Yeah, I think he's just short. I mean, you look at... I mean, we have a good model here, right? We had a good model here in LaDainian Tomlinson, right? That's a shoe-in Hall of Famer, right? Beast Mode is on the outside looking in, I think. And this is... I enjoy watching him play the game of football. I enjoyed the way he ran the football, the attitude he ran the football with. But I think Chris is right. There was just too many inconsistent years, some in Buffalo, and then when he got to Seattle, the first few years they pounded the rock, and then as Russell Wilson became more of a factor, touches became less, which is really what started the rift between the Seattle Seahawks and that whole Legion of Boom.
If he could have just been good enough to run it in from the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl, he might have made the Hall of Fame, but he wasn't.
I'm joking. I was going to say, because he didn't get the play call.
I understand that, Scraby. Thank you for clearing up my own joke.
Do you want me? Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's my take.
All right, cool.
What do you think, Scraby? You think he is? Because you're a Bay Area honk?
That was not the way I thought you were going to say that.
Is it Bay Area wackadoos? Is that what
wackadoo lunatic.
Wackadoo lunatic.
Yeah, because you're a wackadoo lunatic?
No, but I do love Beast Mode and his act. I think he's a really funny dude. And
I will ask Tony this question, though, because writers sit around in a room for the Football Hall of Fame. You don't fill out a ballot at your house or in your hotel. They all sit around and discuss guys. The fact that Beast Mode didn't really get along with the media all that well
doesn't help his case.
Doesn't help his case, and that shouldn't come into play.
No, it should, but
people
it does.
People are people. I mean, you do have real emotions, and if he ever told you to take a hike, you're going to bring that to the conversation.
Or if he just said, I'm just here so I won't get fined, you probably feel some type of way about it.
I forgot about that.
He should have coined that one.
Number four.
The Steelers are giving quarterback Ben Roethlisberger a new two-year extension to go with the 1 year he had left on his contract, tying him to the Steelers through the 2021 season. He said in a statement, quote, I am grateful to the Rooneys and the Steelers organization for continuing to believe in me. It has always been a goal to play my entire career in Pittsburgh. This is home for me and my family, and we love this city. I am as excited to be a Steeler in year 16 as I was when they drafted me. They will get my absolute best, end quote. Anybody hear the sarcasm in his statement? He's excited 16 years in. Tony, no. Do you think Big Ben is still a top five quarterback in the league?
Top five? Brady, Rodgers, Wilson,
Breeze,
Garoppolo. Rivers,
Josh Allen.
I'm going to say he's just outside. He's not off.
Just outside.
He's just outside.
So
he's
top
just,
seven, maybe?
Yeah, I'd give him top seven. Is that what the question is? Is this about if he's a top five?
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is because he's getting up there, 16 years in the NFL, and they're giving him a two-year contract extension, so they must think that he's still top seven guy.
Well, clearly, by all the decisions they've made, they pretty much drew their line in the sand a long time ago. And based on players that are no longer Steelers, they would tell you that it's been that way. So, not a surprise that he gets the two-year extension. Regardless of him may not being as good as he was early on, he's still better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. And
I think that's what it is.
At the end of the day, I could only think of five that were definitely better.
Well, I'm going to name a couple more.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm looking at a list, and that's helping me. Patrick Mahomes might be better. Andrew Luck might be better. Jared Goff had a better year, maybe. But here's the funny thing. Who led the NFL in passing yardage last season? Scraby.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to say Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger.
That's crazy.
I would have never got that. Wouldn't you have just automatically assumed Patrick Mahomes led the league in passing yardage?
I yes. wouldn't, only because
Roethlisberger had more than he did without Antonio Brown, right?
No, he had Antonio Brown.
He did, yeah.
He didn't the have. He didn't have Le'Veon. He didn't have Le'Veon the whole season. But he had Juju Smith-Schuster. He had Antonio Brown on the other side.
Antonio, like, just
the last game.
Antonio.
Yeah. Just the last game.
He only missed him for one game. He
also
had a better completion percentage than Patrick Mahomes. I don't like Roethlisberger personally.
And maybe that's
I'm kind of tired of his old act.
Maybe that's why I'm hating on him right now.
Statistically, you can't argue with the fact that he's still putting up some pretty good numbers. I was very surprised to see his name at the top of this list right now. So,
number three.
I'm angry at this person that we're about to talk about. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians is not at all happy about his team's 2019 regular season schedule that was released last week, so much so that he has reached out to the NFL league office to voice his displeasure. The Bucs will go 7 straight weeks without a home game, with 2 West Coast trips and a trip to London in that span. They'll face the Chargers in week 4, New Orleans in week 5, the Panthers in London in week 6 as a home game. Then they'll have a bye week, then they'll go to Tennessee, and then they'll play Seattle in Seattle. So Bruce Arians says, quote, am I happy about it? Hell no. I think it's ridiculous, and I voiced my opinion to the people in New York, end quote. And because you guys know that I am the West Coast backer-upper, stander-up for, you know how angry I was that the Raiders had 7 East Coast or 10 a.m. starts. So, Chris, do you think that this is unfair for the Buccaneers?
I don't really deal in unfair when it comes to the schedule. The schedule is what it is.
Right.
However, they play a home game on September 22nd, the Buccaneers, and don't play another one until November 10th. That is worth mentioning if you're Bruce Arians. I think that's fair to mention.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna get on his case for mentioning this to the league that, you know, I mean, he's not asking them to change it. He knows they're not going to change it. He's going to play what the schedule is. I hope he's man enough not to blame his team's struggles on the schedule. Hopefully he uses it as kind of something to pull his team together and say, "Hey, let's just beat these bastards. They scheduled us out of the season. Let's use it as a rallying cry." But so no, I don't like the word unfair. But yeah, that's that speaks for itself to go a month and a half between home games.
Tony,
what he said, I think. Yeah, I mean, what was it, September 28th?
September 22nd to November 10th.
That's crazy.
That is
football?
Really a long time.
Like, you just think you only get one game a week, so you're on the road that long.
They're playing four road games, one game in London, and a bye week. So, yeah, 7 weeks.
And you got a London game in there. You can't even be at home in between one of those. Cold game, but I agree. It's kind of a little bit unfair. Sorry we didn't give you the answer you're looking for,
Mr.
Gravy.
That's completely contradictory to what you said about the Raiders, but whatever. I'm moving on. We're going to go to number one because this is a bigger story than number two.
Number two.
We don't have time to do both?
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, because this one's big and it's going to take you guys a while to talk about
it. Okay, here we go.
What? Sorry, I'm running the board, remember? Can you guys please help?
Who are you saying what to?
What do you want us to help with?
Are you talking to the ghost on your shoulder? Who are you talking to?
Yes, I am. Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill will not be facing any charges following a lengthy investigation by police that started in March after authorities were called to his residence over a child abuse complaint against his son. Although Hill is off the hook legally, Johnson County District Attorney Stephen Howe made it clear that his office was absolutely convinced that a crime did occur at Hill's house. Here he is talking about it at the press conference today.
We are deeply troubled by this situation and are concerned about the health and welfare of the child in question. We believe that a crime has occurred. However, the evidence in this case does not conclusively establish who committed this crime. Despite this decision, there will be a continued involvement by state officials to ensure the safety of the child. Because of the ongoing child protection investigation, we are unable to discuss the facts of this case.
All right, so there you go. That's what he said. Tony, do you think that Tyreek Hill should face any suspensions from the NFL or the Chiefs?
Yes.
This shocks me. Why?
I agree with Tony. All right, next question.
Oh, come on, guys.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, come
you
on.
You said this was going to take us a while. I just wanted
I know.
To...
You guys both had that look on your face like, we're going to get him.
Why? Because there's a child involved. There's a child involved. And whether it was Tyreek Hill himself or his fiance,
something happened.
Something clearly happened. The police feel like that. So, regardless of whether there's actual criminal charges, the NFL can step in and do something. I think based on what we just heard from was that
the district attorney, or the prosecutor.
Based on what we just heard from him, it's clear that there was a crime committed. They just can't prove which one of the two did it. So, in this case. You're guilty. If you didn't do it, then you're Tyreek Hill. You're guilty by association. Your child ended up with an injury that they shouldn't have no business ending up with.
Chris?
They lost custody of their child last week. I mean, that should be a red flag going off in the NFL office right there. Tyreek Hill also doesn't exactly have a clean past, but that's not fair. That's not exactly part of this case. But, yeah, I'd like to see the NFL take a little look into this. I mean, my goodness, a three-year-old kid is getting beaten by the people who are supposed to be taking care of him, yeah. And they just can't prove it?
I don't think you need to look into
That's
anything.
That's really scary, man. There's plenty of guys who can play football, maybe not as good as Tyreek Hill, but they can play football that love their kids and take great care of them. I have problems when stuff like this trickles through the cracks.
Do you think that we were talking with our boss earlier before the show, and because the Chiefs now have Frank Clark on their team, they traded with Seattle, he has histories of domestic violence in college, and Chiefs fans are actually kind of starting to think, like, what's going on with our team? We keep bringing these guys in. So do you think there's anything with the Chiefs?
Well, if I'm the Chiefs, I tell my fans, hey, you want to beat the Patriots or not?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Why is Tony giving me that look?
I don't know how Clark got lumped up into this.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, because
think Clark
he has history of domestic violence.
So you're saying
now,
that the Chiefs are
looking
selling
the other way.
Their soul to the devil?
Exactly.
Well, that can't be it. They cut a dude that's going to be playing.
What
are
they
playing
do with
against?
Kareem Hunt? So I'm not going to nail the Chiefs on that one.
Yeah, but the NFL and the Chiefs can do the right thing though by suspending.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill.
I think they got to at least, at the very least, demand that he get some sort of counseling, right?
Yeah.
Sensitivity,
I mean, yeah,
counseling?
It should be a combination of both. You should get your money taken away, you should lose a game, and you should have to do the counseling thing. Because as you said, this ain't his first rodeo with some type of violence.
No, it is not.
So,
good Big Five, guys.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.